because it's noontime in Atlanta, it's time for Radio Bible Study, brought to you by the Church of Christ in Embry Hills. This is David Tant speaking to you as we continue our study in the book of James, chapter 2. We're reminded of the discussion we began yesterday on the matter of showing respect of persons, how the Lord taught against the idea of showing deference and preference to the rich, but despising those who are poor, those who may not be as beautiful or as intelligent as others might be. And he said that when we do that, that we despise or make distinctions among ourselves in James 2:4, and become judges with evil thoughts. Verse 5, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, did not God choose them that are poor as to the world to be rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to them that love him?" He said, "But you have dishonored the poor man." Jesus honored the poor man. In fact, he was born as a poor man. He was born to a poor family. And so he honored the poor in that sense. He said, "Do not the rich oppress you, and themselves drag you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called?" And of course, he's talking here so much about the Christians and their faith, and the fact that it was the rich, the important, the rulers of that day that oppressed them and persecuted them and drug them before the judgment seats. It says, "They blaspheme the honorable name," that is the name of Christ, "by which you are called." Well, what attitude should we have then? "Howbeit, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well." Paul declared in Galatians 5 and verse 14 that the whole law is filled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Of course, this takes care of not only our relationship to our neighbor, but also our relationship to God. Because if I love myself as I should, then I want the very best for myself. Well, what is the best in this life that I can do for myself? Ecclesiastes 12:13 said that this is the end of the matter, all have been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. That is, this is the whole duty or the whole purpose of man's life. So for me to love myself in the very best manner possible, I will have a right relationship with God, because that's best for me. Now, if I want to love my neighbor as I love myself, then I want to share these things with him. I'll treat him as a brother, but I also will want him to enjoy the same blessings that I have in Christ Jesus. So you do well if you love your neighbor as yourself. But verse 9, "If you have respect of persons, you commit sin, being convicted by the law as transgressors." You know, there are some today who say that we have no law in Christ, that we're free to do whatever we want to do. But you remember back in verse chapter 1, it talked about the law and things that we are to do. And it says here that we violate the law and we're convicted by the law as transgressors if we're respected persons. Verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's become guilty of all." Now, that does not mean that if I have sinned in one thing, that I have committed every sin there is in the book. But God views the law as a whole. And he said, "Do not transgress the law, for when you do, you have broken the law as a whole." You know, if I have a vase, a valuable vase in my home, and one part of that vase is broken, I have broken the vase. That does not mean that every part of that vase is broken up into small pieces. But if I knock a hole in one side of the vase, I have broken the vase. And it has lost its value then, because it is broken. "For whosoever shall keep the law then, yet stumble in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' said also, 'Do not kill.'" Now, if thou dost not commit adultery, but killest, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Isn't it true that men have set up sort of a catalog of sins with respect to their seriousness? I imagine that the catalog of sins that a lot of people have would start up here at the top with, murder is the worst sin. Maybe adultery or something is the second worst sin. And we come on down, you know, down to the bottom where we have little white lies and things like that at the bottom of the list. But there is no such of a list with God. He doesn't catalog sins according to the seriousness. Sin is sin. I was reading something in a magazine recently that was interesting. Here's a young woman, she's about 17 or 18, I guess, who is a movie star, and she was the star of the movie The Exorcist, Linda Blair. And about the age of 15, it seems that with her mother's consent, she began living with some man to whom she was not married. And the remark that she made was, there are no, you know, laws against things like that. Why, there are only laws against the heavier stuff, like killing and stealing, things like that. Where did she get such a notion? Well, she may have gotten it from a lot of denominational preachers who encourage things like this by their teaching. There is no difference in the sight of God between a little white lie and adultery and murder or respect of persons. It is all sin, and sin damns the soul. I don't care how small it is. You cannot justify a little white lie if it is a lie. Well, Revelation 21:8 says that all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. So don't think that because you commit small sins that God will just overlook them. He considers all sin. Therefore, the need for us to be diligent in life, that we strive to do the will of God, that we do not excuse ourselves from any part of God's will, because he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now, if thou dost not commit adultery, but killest, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as men that are to be judged by a law of liberty. Yes, we're going to be judged. Hebrews 9:27 declares that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this cometh judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 declares that we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, I know this idea of judgment and hell is not popular with people today. They want to think only on the positive things, and they don't like to think of judgment and of condemnation. But that is a reality. Hell is just as real as heaven. Hell is just as long as heaven is. And the punishment is just as real as the happiness of heaven. So speak ye then, and so do, as men that are to be judged by a law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to him that hath showed no mercy. Here again, this idea of respect of persons is the matter of not showing mercy. But mercy glorieth against judgment. Mercy, then, helps us to receive mercy from God. We need to think about those things. I remember the teaching of Christ back in Matthew, the 18th chapter, as I recall, where he talked about the matter of forgiveness. Here's showing mercy. And Peter asked the Lord, Lord, if my brother sin against me, how often shall I forgive him? Unto 7 times? And Peter said, oh no, Peter, how about 70 times 7? That is, be forgiving completely. And he went on to tell the story of a servant who owed his master a great sum of money. In fact, it amounted to about $10 million. and he didn't have the money to repay it. And the master commanded that he be sold into bondage, and the servant pled with his master. And finally, the master said, "Forget the debt. I've forgiven you the whole debt." And this servant then went out and found a fellow servant who owed him a small sum of money. He wanted it repaid. The fellow servant didn't have it. And so he took him by the throat and began to shake him and rattle him and says, "You pay what you owe." And the man said, "Have mercy, I can't." And so this servant commanded that his fellow servant be sold to recover the money. And when his fellow servants heard of this, they came and told the master. And he called the first servant in and said, "Didn't I forgive you that great debt? Then should you not have forgiven your brother his debt also?" And he commanded the servant to be sold, and terrible things came upon him. And the lesson is made there that if God can forgive us the great debts that we have incurred against him, the sins that we have committed, surely we can show mercy and forgiveness toward our fellow human beings who have committed really small and petty things against us. But isn't it strange how that sometimes we want God to forgive us these great things, and we look at our brother and we grit our teeth and we say, "I'll not forgive you." But what does it say here? "For judgment is without mercy to him that showed no mercy. Mercy glorieth against judgment." James 7:1, "For what we dish out unto others, the same can we respect or can we receive from God." So let's not show respect of persons. Treat all men fairly, whether they are rich or poor, whether they are beautiful or homely, whether they have an even temper or a bad temper. Respect them. They are a creature that God has made in his own image. Maybe we can help the person to a better life. They may be grumpy. They may be poor. They may be ill-treated. But if we'll show a little of the milk of human kindness, you might be surprised as to what we can do. We want to begin our study next week with verse 14 and have a good discussion on the relationship of faith and works. You know, there are many churches, many preachers, many denominations, many creeds that say that man is saved by faith only. And you know, there is only one place in all of the Bible where the words faith and only appear together in the same verse, and that'll be in the text that we'll be studying next week. We'll remind you again of the Bible Correspondence Course that is offered by the Church of Christ in Embry Hills. We invite you to take advantage of that. You'll find it an interesting study. It is not presented from the viewpoint of any creed or doctrine or dogma of man, but only from the Word of God. If you write to us at the Church of Christ at Embry Hills, 3250 Shambly Tucker Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30341. If you have a question that you would like to call about or comments that you would like to make, please call 455-8412. If there is no one in the office at the time, a recorder will take your message and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. We remind you of the services on the Lord's Day. The church here at Embry Hills meets for Bible study at 9 o'clock Sunday morning, classes for all ages. The morning worship assembly is at 9:55, and then the evening worship assembly is at 6:30. You're invited to these services. And if some of our listeners should happen to live up into the Roswell area, where I preach for the Lord's Church there, we invite you to come and meet with us also. The Church of Christ in Roswell meets at 315 Pine Grove Road. That's just about a half a mile west of the Ford dealer and the Roswell Bank. We meet for Bible study at 9 o'clock Sunday morning, our worship assembly at 10 o'clock, and then our evening service is at 4 o'clock. We'd be glad to have you. The brethren here at Embry Hills will be most happy to have you. We welcome you, and we hope that you tune in again next Monday at 12 o'clock as we continue our radio Bible study. This program is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Embry Hills, and this is David Tant speaking. Good day.